What I want to talk about tonight as a part one in a series, and I don't know how many of these I'll do, but I want to speak about the house of prayer. And so my goal in doing these kinds of messages is, one, to make prayer a priority. Not just something we get up, we say a few words, and dismiss, and we're done. That's why I want to turn an actual service into a prayer-seeking service. And I hope, please, I hope you will feel convicted to be there. And not only that you will participate. This is not a marathon. We're not here to see who can pray the longest. Trust me, when we actually do one, you'll get an idea, you'll get a feel for what I'm talking about. I don't think it's going to be boring. I truly don't. But it's a matter of seeking God. So I want to make prayer a priority. And I want to make prayer personal. Okay, so not only that, a lot of people here have needs. A lot of people have needs. We might actually break up into two or three groups or however that works out. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Because you know what? We're going to let the Holy Spirit decide. That's something I think we need to start relying on more. Rather than us and me and all of us here plan out the service, how about we just let the Holy Spirit guide the service? Maybe somebody has a song that will just uplift so many people. Have you ever cried after hearing a song? Sandy, when that song played today on YouTube, I got chills all over just thinking about that topic. It was about being left behind by the Steels. Steeles. If you want to look it up on YouTube, it's called The Steels. And the name of the song is called Left Behind. That song just gets me every time I hear it. And the thing is, it's powerful. So I want to make prayer personal. Not only, and you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, we're here in a group. How can you make it personal? Because you have a need. I have a need. You have family, you said. You want people to pray for. I want God, and I'm expecting God to manifest himself. I believe God is waiting on us to do something that will draw his attention, not to say he's not paying attention, but will draw his attention toward us. What did he say in the scriptures? You draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. But you know what? It's a kind of a double thing, because we can't by ourselves draw near to God. He has to kind of tug us right along, don't he? So if we draw near to God, he said, he promised, I'll draw near to you. So it's a two-way interaction. He's waiting on us to draw near to him. So that's going to make prayer personal. And not only that, but I want to make prayer a public, or let's just call it a corporate. Whenever you hear me use the word corporate, that just simply means all of us. That's it. Just all of us in a group. We want to make prayer not just a couple of people, all of us, because we need to pray. We need to learn to pray. And trust me, that's what these messages will help us do. So right away, starting Sunday, April 7th, that'll be our first Sunday evening prayer service, and then thereafter, every first Sunday of the month. We may do more, and if I do, we'll announce it. So what are we going to pray for? Well, we're going to pray for requests, first of all. Everybody in this room, based on what I heard up there, has a need. Y'all have got a brother and sister sick. Wouldn't you love to see them healed? I believe God can. He can do more and more. But you know what the most important part? I was asking Dronda this today. Sam, you might have been here. I said, why did Jesus come to this earth? In man's flesh. Why did he come? He came to save that which was lost. That's our first and top priority, is for the Lord to save that which is lost. Healing is great. He healed while he was here. but he was more concerned about the soul. There's an end to this life, and there's a destination afterwards. I know a lot of people don't believe in that. They don't believe there's something after this life, but I believe there is. And Jesus believed there was. He taught about it. He even made the comment. He said, broad is the way, we quoted it this afternoon, that leadeth to destruction. Broad is the way, and there will be many that find it. But narrow is the way, straight is the gate, and there'll be few that find it. One of my concerns is that there's going to be people in a big room full of church, perhaps on a Sunday morning, the Lord comes, and not everybody in church will go. That's a sobering thought. Not everybody in church will necessarily go. I hope they do, but we don't know that. How are we going to pray? Well, first of all, too, on the what, we're going to pray for needs. That's the small part of the focus, okay? We're going to pray for needs. But then we're going to pray for God's kingdom to be advanced. How do you advance God's kingdom? Read the first 6 chapters of Acts. That might be some homework if you want to do some homework. Read the first 6 chapters of Acts. If you do that, you'll see that God's kingdom grew very high. It started from 120 in an upper room, and then it grew to like 3,000, and then very shortly after that, 5,000. So immediately, God's kingdom, people were getting saved. Lives were getting changed. So how are we going to pray? Well, we're going to use things like songs, like tonight. We're going to take the text of the songs that were written, worship God. We're going to take those worshiping words and turn them into prayers. We'll practice doing that. And we're going to also learn from Scripture. We're going to learn to pray from Scripture. And that is one of the best ways to help you in your public prayer life, our corporate prayer life here, and also in your private prayer life. We're going to pray in groups. We're going to pray in different groups. You don't have to participate. I hope you will. But you don't have to. We're laying ground rules here. You don't have to participate, but I hope you do. And we're going to pray in a mode of worship. Remember when I said we all have needs? Okay, that should be this much of your prayer focus. There's this much that we could pray for. Okay? I'm holding my hands about 2 feet apart. But needs are important. They are important. Jesus, when he was on this earth in the flesh, was more worried about the soul. He was concerned about someone's soul. How is it with your soul? I love that song. It is well with my soul. So we're going to pray in a mode of worship. Now, one phrase you're going to hear from me a lot, and when I ask the question, why seek God? Why seek the Lord? I hope your response will be, for God is worthy to be sought. Let's practice that. Why seek the Lord? Very good. For God is worthy to be sought. He's worthy to be sought. He often said, seek my face in the Old Testament. In other words, learn who God is. And I'm going to read our first scripture because Jesus kind of outlined this in the beginning. He had had some conversation with people talking about things that we need. And he had already told them, he says, I know you need things. All of us do. We all need things. And at the end of that little discussion in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, he said, therefore, take no thought. In other words, don't be anxious. Don't be nervous about this, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? In other words, how are we going to be clothed? What are we going to wear? How are we going to get food? And how are we going to get something to drink? Because he followed it up with this. He said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He knows you need them. He knows you need the basic necessities here. He said, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So when you come to God, it's not just to seek what he can give you. That's called seeking his hand. Okay? What he can give you. That's seeking his hand. He said to seek my face. Find out who he is and how good he is, how great he is. He knows you need all these other things. He knows that already. He even said it. But seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's knowing God. Let's do that first. And then what's going to happen? And all these things, what things? The things we need to eat, things we need to drink, things we need to wear. All these things shall be added unto you. He's given us permission, and I would dare say a commandment to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So shifting from what we call a needs-based prayer time, it'll include that for sure. We pray for needs of the people, but that's not where you stop. You don't stop there. You stop after you have worshiped the Lord, after you have sought after him. And we're going to go through that. We're going to practice that. Not tonight, but we're going to practice that on April 7th. I pray you will be here. So Jesus explains to us that we're to seek the kingdom first before these needs. It's not wrong to seek these needs, of course. They're all good. Now, this next set of scriptures, it's 7 verses. I was trying my best to pare them down to where I could give you just the important part. And as I was doing it, I was having difficulty in how was I going to explain what came before. So I'm going to go ahead and just read you the 7 verses very quickly. Believe me, this message is not going to be super long. But look at this in Isaiah 56 and 1. He's talking to Isaiah. Isaiah's a prophet of the Lord. And he says this to Isaiah, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice." In other words, do right. You know, there's a lot of injustice out here in this world. And he's saying, do justice. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. And that's why we want to seek God, because we want his righteousness. Remember, he said, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Okay? And it will be revealed. It will be revealed. And so he continues to talk to Isaiah. Blessed is the man that, and I'm going to change a lot of these ETH words into, this is how I read the King James Bible, just in case you want to know. Blessed is the man that does this, and the son of man that lays hold on it, and keeps the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeps his hand from doing evil. Basically, this is following the laws, the commandments that God has laid out for Isaiah and his people. God is saying, blessed is the man who does these things. As you continue, and we're getting to the key verse here in just a minute. This is important because this is us. Neither let the son of the stranger. This is not the people of Israel. This is the stranger. These are the people that are outside, okay, of the commonwealth of Israel. These are the people that are outside of the commonwealth of Israel. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. In other words, he doesn't want the stranger to feel by himself. Again, that's us. We're not Jews. He's talking about us. Let them not say, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. And neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. In other words, I'm all dried up. I've got nothing left to give. I'm just there. No, we don't want that. The Lord has something else in mind. He says in Isaiah 56:4, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me, again, he's talking about outside the fold of Israel, and take hold of my covenant. These are the people who choose to believe God. He says, even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and daughters. Think about what he's saying. He's willing to reach out beyond the Jewish people and accept you. Does that make sense? Oh, that's great good news, isn't it? He's willing to do that. He's already proved it to us. See, we're looking hindsight now. He's already proved it to us through Jesus Christ that he's willing to accept the Gentiles. That's us. We're not Jewish. At least I don't think anybody's in here Jewish. But anyway, he said, I'm willing to give you in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. We're almost there. One more scripture after this one. Also, the sons of the stranger. Again, that's outside the Jewish nation. That join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord. Notice these things. To serve him and to love him. Those are two basic requirements. If you think coming here and just sitting on a pew and listening to a sermon is serving him and loving him, oh my, you've missed the point. The point is to serve him, be like him, and to love him, love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. What's a servant? A servant is somebody who does what his master asks, right? Well, the Bible's full of the things that the master will ask of you, and we are to be his servants. And he's talking about the stranger. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant. Here it comes. Here it comes. Even them, talking about the strangers, will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Did it say house of preaching? No. Did it say house of singing? No. He said my house of prayer. And their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted. And I love this part. He's talking about people who are not Jewish. Their sacrifices and offerings shall be accepted on my altar. And here's the key verse. For my house, mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Not just the Jewish people, not just the Gentiles, not just us. My house will be called a house of prayer. If you have a service and there's not much prayer going on, then again, I think we're missing a point. Jesus wants us to pray. How do I know this? Because, well, first of all, let me give you just a real quick background, real quick. People came from all over the world to worship in the temple in Jerusalem. People came from all over. Sometimes it was only a one-time event. Have you ever gone on a vacation to where you only had enough money to go just once? We've been fortunate in our lives that, especially when we were young, We couldn't afford going to the beach very often, could we, honey? No, that was special. And we actually went to Florida. We went down there to the Kennedy Space Center, which scared the bejeebies out of Deronda because we didn't know much about Florida. But we were going across, and I guess they call it a channel. So you're on a road, but on both sides of the road is nothing but water. And there was a huge, huge storm came up. You talking about prayer time, Deronda had some prayer time because I was busy driving. My wipers were going as fast as they possibly can. We had a rental car, and all she could see on both left and right was nothing but high waves just coming up on both sides, just high waves. And we thought, oh, my goodness, are we going to get washed out? You know, people were And on that road, you couldn't pull off to the side. There was no side to pull off. You'd be in the ocean if you did. But before getting to that channel, people were pulling off the side of the road before they got down. Not me. Glenn, I think I take more after you in this respect. I was just going to push on. And I couldn't see maybe 5 feet from in front of my car. And we pressed on. And we went on. And real oddity about all of that is when we got there, the rain stopped. Everything stopped. And so we went into the Kennedy Space Center and came back out. And the sun had already come out and dried almost everything up. Not quite, but close. So we saw, I don't know if it was a real space shuttle or a mock-up of the space shuttle, but oh my, we got to see all kinds of things. But that was just a part of it. But we were only able to do that once. And I'll remember it from now on. But sometimes there's things that you can only do once. And so when these people came to Jerusalem, sometimes they only had enough money saved up. They could visit Jerusalem back in Jesus' day only one time. Once. And so when they came, what did they want to do? They wanted to worship the Lord. They went to the temple to worship Him, to serve Him, to what? Love His name because of who He was. And they only had this one opportunity. But inside that temple, especially the court of the Gentiles, which is the very biggest part and the most open part, no, you had all these people who were exchanging money because you couldn't just bring any money into the temple. You had to use what was called temple money. And people would exchange their money. Anybody who's gone to a different country would know what that means when you exchange currency from one to another. Well, not only would they exchange currency, people didn't know what I'm going to use our amount. Like, so I have $5 in American money and I want to change it into temple money. I don't know how much that should be. And they didn't either. And so what would happen is they cheated them. Imagine that. You're coming to a place to worship and I'm exchanging my $5 and you're giving me only maybe $2 worth of temple money. You know, and then when I bring a sacrifice, you're saying my sacrifice is spotted and whatnot. I can't use it. I got to buy one over here. And I just happen to have a lamb that's good for you. You can buy it. Well, guess what? There goes your temple money too. So, I mean, it's all gone. Everything's gone. They cheated the people. That's what was going on in Jesus's day. And on top of that, since it was so big, that area was so big, it had a door on a gate on each side, and people would walk their camels and stuff through it, through the temple. Okay, that would be similar to, you know, some stranger just walking in the door and carrying whatever he wants and through the church and out that door, right in the middle of service. Jesus saw what was going on. He was fed up with it. That was the time he got angry. And Brother Eddie and I have a kind of a little debate going on. We don't know for sure. But Jesus formed a whip. And he drove out the money changers. And the question we have is, did he hit anybody? Did Jesus actually take the whip and hit anybody? He might have hit the animals. Probably that for sure. To drive them out. But it said he drove out the money changers. I don't know. Kind of makes you wonder, did Jesus go that far? Well, now that you know the backstory, here's what Jesus said. He was so upset. He was so upset. So in Matthew 21, verse 12, and I think this might be the second time it happened. I'm not sure. It could be the first. But anyway, it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God. That's the Jewish temple. And he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and he overthrew the tables. He just flipped them over of the money changers. So these were the people who exchanged the currencies and the seats of them that sold doves. Doves were a cheaper offering. If you couldn't afford a lamb, a dove would be acceptable. And guess what? They just happened to have some. So Jesus is like tearing into the place. He's flipping over tables and he's angry and he's running them off and he's turning over the seats of them that sold doves. It doesn't say he did anything about the doves. They were probably okay. It was the people sitting in the seats. But here you go. 21:13, Matthew, he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Where have we heard that before? Isaiah 56. These are the strangers. These are the people who weren't Jewish. These are the people who might could afford a one-time visit to the temple to worship God. And nobody was able to worship because of the chaos. And Jesus was mad. He was mad. And he said, it is written in Isaiah, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But look what he added to it. But you have made it into a den of thieves. They were cheating people left and right. So what is this house for? Today is the church is our modern day temple. Okay? Where they got their teaching and did their preaching was often in synagogues. That was separate from the temple. The temple was there to worship. Worship the God of the universe, or the sovereign Lord, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah, we sang that tonight. That was what that was all about. And Jesus said, not much praying going on there because it had all those other people. So today, the modern equivalent to the temple would be the sanctuary. Okay? Think of this place as the temple. It can't be done with a bunch of chaos. Yes, you have to have order, but at the same time, you have to have a leading and a prompting of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not in your midst, this is just a talk. This is just a nice motivational speaking, I guess. We were talking about that earlier. No, we don't want this to be motivational speaking. We want to be a church who knows how to worship. And so that's my goal. That's my goal. I'm not saying we don't worship. My point is, I think we need more of it. Does that make sense? I'm not at all accusing of anybody in this church or the church as a whole as not worshiping the Lord. I just think we need more of it. You want to see, the Bible says, and I think it's in Mark, but I could be wrong, these signs shall follow them, what? Who believe. Yep, these signs. And so he lists over some things, but it's people who believe. You want to see a manifestation from God? I certainly do. I do not want the devil to win. I am concerned about my country. I am concerned about my state. We came close to passing a law to where after, I never thought I would have seen or heard about this in my lifetime, after a baby is born, we were going to make it comfortable. How you make a baby comfortable? You drug it out of its mind. I don't know how else you can do it. Else the baby's going to sit there and cry and want milk, want nourishment. And so here, we're going to make a baby comfortable. And after that, the mom and the doctor are going to decide whether it should live or die. It is. It's a crying shame. I don't want our state to be that state, like California passed their law. And you know what? And it frosts me to no end. I can't imagine what Jesus felt like. The Holy Spirit had to be grieved. But they stood up when they passed the law in New York for that very same law. They stood up and clapped like it was some big thing that they've just accomplished. God have mercy on their souls. We need prayer in the house of God. We need to learn to seek after him. We need a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that God will manifest himself here in ways that I can't even imagine right now. Through healing, through saving lost souls, through building our character. Some of us, we're just kind of coasting, you know, not really into it, you know, but we go, we're faithful, but we're kind of coasting. You know, we don't get involved. Prayer night. Yeah, I can skip prayer night. Yeah, that's just going to be a lot of carrying on. No. Seeking the face of God is not a bunch of carrying on. Trust me, it's not going to be chaos or anything like that. But that's what I want to do. Since this is our modern day temple of the Lord, there's no animal sacrifices made here. But the Bible talks about sacrifices of what? Praise and worship. And if you don't think sacrificing praise is something, try doing it for quite a while. Praising the Lord. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying try doing it for a while. I don't know who I was talking with, but I was talking about when you pray, here's a good test. I've done this on myself. I took my cell phone, the thing that often distracts me. I set my timer for 30 minutes and I said, I'm going to pray to the Lord for 30 minutes. What do you think happened? In about 5 to 10 minutes, I almost ran out of things to say. And so I kind of found myself repeating things. And I thought, well, this is not good. I'm repeating the things that I already prayed for. But how I started was praying for needs. Again, that's this much of the prayer. Then I started praying on my next time. I set my timer. I opened up the Bible and I started reading from Psalms. I picked one just out of random. Maybe the Holy Spirit picked one for me. I don't know. I read the Psalms, read a couple of verses, and I just held my hand there and I started praying the scripture. And then I read some more, prayed the scripture. I read some more, prayed the scripture. Then I sang a song that I knew. Oh, you could even use Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you can turn that into a prayer. Just those words. How do I know Jesus loved me? Oh, he stretched his arms out and they nailed it to a cross. That's how I know. Even while I was still a sinner, even before I was even born, he did all this for me specifically so that I would have hope. That's how I know Jesus loved me. Anyway, I set my clock for another 30 minutes and I started praying differently. Not just for needs. That's only part of it. We pray for needs, sure. But I started worshiping. Started praying that God would advance his kingdom, that God would save souls. Jack, I pray for your family too. Pray for my family. I pray for several people's families. Pray for Harold. Pray for others, that they would come to know the Lord. Guess what? My timer went off. 30 minutes had passed. I wasn't done. I kept praying. And I'm not telling you this to do any bragging or anything. That's not the point. The point is, once I got away from just praying for just needs, we'll talk more about this, and then I got more into praying for God's presence, to know him better, to submit to him, to forgive my sin. Oh, I could spend some time telling the Lord, asking to forgive my sin, praying that he forgives, and he does. That's the great thing. God forgives. So anyway, that's how I want to end it. This is a place to worship. So over the next few Sunday nights, I'm going to have a few messages leading up to April the 7th, and we're going to have a prayer service. Please invite people. Please invite people to join in, because they may not know what it's going to look like. I don't know for sure what it's going to look like. I've got a vision in my head, but I do not want the devil to win. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people who are lost and staying lost. And I know God can save. And I don't know, there's more I could tell you, but my time's run out. I just want you to think about these things that I've spoken about tonight. I believe, I truly believe this, that if we learn, at least take one night, a month, and maybe even have some messages on it, maybe one month we'll turn it into two nights. Depends on how people, like I said, I want feedback. Tell me what you like, tell me what you don't like. Tell me what parts excite you, what parts don't excite you, you know. And we'll tweak it, we'll adjust it. It won't be a sermon like tonight when we have these prayer meetings. And it's only going to be one Sunday a night to start with. Just to learn, just to practice. Invite people to come and pray. If you can fast, please fast. A meal, a day. You don't have to fast on the day of. You can do it beforehand. Just pray for the service. Pray that it'll be a good service. Pray that it'll be a God manifestation service. Okay? If you would, just please stand. After I close out the CD here, if anybody has prayer need, we'll be glad to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I look expectantly, Lord, in the coming weeks as to what you can do. The Bible says you can do more above and beyond what I could even ask or think. And Lord, I can think of a lot of things. I can think of a lot of good things that you can do. So if you can do more than that, which I know you can, I don't know. I'd like to see you just blow our minds with your presence here in this house. And Lord God, help us. Help us, Lord, to become a praying church. And that will help us in our private praying lives as well. Help us, Lord, to learn more about you and to seek after you. Not what you can give us, but what you are and who you are and the fact that you are here to save souls. God, we look for the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And we pray that the Holy Ghost will guide us in this service. In Jesus' name. And for his glory, amen.